Luke chapter 1 verse 1. This is the reading of God's word. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip was tetrarch of the region of Etruria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene. Wow. In the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you would grant us an ear to hear your word so that we may truly hear and our faith will grow and will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, through your word, let us have a wonderful fellowship with your Son. And through your word, let us see what he has done and what he has accomplished for us so that we may rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. Bless us that your word will be preached correctly and all of us not only hear your word but understand and believe and also obey to bring glory to you. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just like what we saw in chapter 2 verse 1, here in chapter 3, verse 1, Luke gives us the historical background to a biblical event. In chapter 3, verse 1, we see a few historical figures that we could also see in the secular historical books. All the biblical events, then, that we find in the Bible are the actual historical events in history. Our God works in history. Today, we would like to look at a very important topic. Well, at least I believe it's very important. The relationship between the world history and God's redemptive history. The history of God's salvation. Luke, back in chapter 2, verse 1, gave us the historical background to the event of the birth of Jesus Christ in the figure of Caesar Augustus. Here in chapter 3, Luke also gives us the historical background to the public ministry of Jesus Christ in the figure of Caesar Tiberius. Let us look at all the people that we see in verse 1 very briefly. We don't have time to look at them in detail. First, Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea, according to chapter 3, verse 1. We also see him in Luke chapter 13, verse 1, which says, "Now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him," meaning Jesus, "about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices." Here, we're told that he killed the Galileans who came to Jerusalem. Pontius Pilate becomes the governor of Judea in 26 AD. Then, in chapter 3, verse 1, we see three tetrarchs, Herod, Philip, and Lysanias. Who is a tetrarch? Well, in Greco-Roman antiquity, he was a governor of one of the four divisions of a province. The one of four joint rulers, if you will. Later, any ruler of a small region was called a tetrarch, a minor king, if you will. The Roman Empire gave these tetrarchs delimited independent sovereignty. So they enjoy some sovereignty as they ruled as small regions. Herod the Antipas, he was tetrarch of Galilee. He reigned from 4 BC to 39 AD. We know him as the one who severed the head of the John the Baptist. Philip, well, Herod the Antipas, his brother, he was tetrarch of the region of Etruria and Trachonitis. The Herod the Antipas would marry Philip's wife, Herodias, and we will read about that event a little later in the book of Luke. And the third patriarch, Licinius, who was the tetrarch of Abilene. Well, Luke tells us that these three were the tetrarchs of these regions, and the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ happened when these tetrarchs were reigning these regions. But Luke says that it was in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. He succeeds the Caesar Augustus of chapter 2, verse 1. But as we have seen, he was not a true son of Caesar Augustus. He was an adopted son. Caesar Augustus forced the divorce of the parents of Tiberius so that he could marry the mother of Tiberius. Tiberius was adopted after Augustus married the mother of Tiberius, and Augustus had a daughter named Julia. After death of her husband, Augustus forced Julia to live with Tiberius. Of course, Augustus had Tiberius' wife removed before that forced marriage. Julia became Tiberius' pain and misery. And Augustus, left completely alone, adopts Tiberius as his son in 4 AD. Augustus died in 14 AD, and Tiberius becomes the Roman emperor. And chapter 3, verse 1 tells us that 15 years has passed since then. Thus, it is at around 29 AD, and we read in Luke chapter 3, verse 23, when he, Jesus, began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age. So you could see how everything fits together. Well, today's topic, what is the relationship between the secular history and the redemptive history of God? And this is very important. I know it's hot. I know it's very hard to stay awake, but listen very carefully because you need to understand this, so that you may understand what is happening out there in the world and how that is related to you. In Genesis 3, we see Adam and Eve sinning against God. Even if God brought the eternal judgment upon them right there and then, God is still just and righteous. But God's plan, even from before the foundation of the universe, is to accomplish His kingdom, heaven. Well, His kingdom filled with His people. But now, because of sin, God had to accomplish His kingdom through the salvation of His people. And He accomplishes this in and through our Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. And in order for God to accomplish His salvation of His people, the eternal judgment is now postponed. But as we all know, that all this was exactly according to God's plan. Now in Genesis chapter 3, God comes to judge them after Adam and Eve sinned. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, they heard the sound of Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Lord God among the trees of the garden. The phrase, the cool of the day. Now, the word that is translated as cool is in Hebrew, ruha, which means the wind. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, the same word is translated as the Spirit of God, wind of God. But context tells us that it is the Spirit of God. And the day, meaning the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God. Thus the phrase in Genesis chapter 3 verse 8, the cool of the day, can be translated as the day of the Spirit. And the day of the Spirit is the same thing as the day of the Lord. The day of the Spirit, or the day of the Lord, or the day of the judgment. Thus what we see in chapter 3 of Genesis is a type of the eternal judgment and a type of the judgment day. And because it was a type, it was a general judgment, or the common judgment. A judgment that comes to both Christians and non-Christians. For example, Genesis chapter 3 verse 16a, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children. It is God's curse, His judgment, but it was a common judgment, not the eternal judgment of God. Thus, even though judgment came after Adam and Eve sinned, the history of this world continues. Yes, there is pain. Yes, there is infertilities. Yes, there is feticides. But babies will be born and people will multiply. This is why, even though it is a common curse, it is also a common grace. If we continue to read the book of Genesis, we see that, yes, man has to toil and sweat. Yes, there is famine and diseases, even many deaths. Yes, all is meaningless, but the history of this world will continue. It is common curse, but it is also a common grace. This is a very important thing for you to understand. But it is not the grace that accomplishes the salvation of God. It is a common grace. Maybe we should not have called that common grace, but this is the official phrase that all of us use. And through the common grace order, the world is preserved and the history of man continues. What is important here is to realize this. The purpose of the common grace, the purpose of the continuation of the history of this world, is the accomplishment of the redemptive history of God. Let me say that again. The purpose of the continuation of the history of this world is the accomplishment of the redemptive history of God. The common grace is also the common curse. In this world, all kinds of disasters will happen. Why? Because it is a common curse. The opposite is also true. There will be evil in this world. There will be wars. There will be events that would feel like the end of the world. But remember, because it is also common grace, history will continue until God's redemptive history is completely accomplished, until all the chosen people of God will be gathered into heaven, until Jesus Christ comes back to visibly consummate the kingdom of God. This world and the history of this world will continue in the order of common grace. God rules this world and the history of this world through the common grace order. But God rules heaven and the redemptive history of God through the special grace order. For example, anyone is able to be a member of this world. Why? Because this world is according to the common grace order. But to be a member of the church, you must believe. Yes, there is a discrimination here. You must believe. Why? Because it is according to the special grace order. God rules the world in the common grace order, but He rules the church in the special grace order. This is what is happening, even as we live our lives here right now. The redemptive history of God is accomplished in the history of this world. At this time, this world and heaven coexist. There is heaven. When we die, we'll go there. But there is this world. It coexists. And the histories of both worlds continues. But you know that this world and its history will end. Only heaven is eternal. Ever since Genesis 3, God preserves this world and its history according to the common grace order for the accomplishment of heaven through the special grace order. When we read the book of Luke, we see that as Jesus Christ comes, the reality of the heavenly order is witnessed, which means the end of the common grace order is also witnessed. When we see the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see the reality of the eternal judgment. And when we see His resurrection, we see the reality of the resurrection of the end, resurrection at the end of the world. Yes, these events are historical events that happen in history of this world, but these are not the events according to the common grace order of this world. The history of heaven is intruding into the history of the world. We, as the believers, must use even the common grace for the glory of God. But the sinners of this world will use the common grace in their sins, in their selfish gains. But as you know, God rules this world according to the common grace at this time. And when He does this, He uses secular governments, for example. And God even gave these governments the authority to kill. God allows them to render the common judgments. By it, God restrains man's corruption. But the governments are never perfect. Like we said many times, the common grace is also, at the same time, the common curse. The most serious problem of this world is the spiritual evil. Satan tempts the sinners to do evil and to live for themselves. And when the people do not participate in that evil, they are persecuted. Revelation 13 verse 11, when I saw another beast coming up out of the earth and had two horns like a lamb and he spoke as a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. And he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which he was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all the small and the great, the rich and the poor and the free men and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provided that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Now, a lot of symbols there, and don't have time to explain all that, but in this world, as history continues, Christians will suffer because their faith in Jesus Christ, and they refuse to follow the world. Now, we talk about the social conflict or ethnic conflict. You know, you hear about these things every day. But the most conflict that we need to focus is the spiritual conflict. It is Christians throughout history who has been persecuted because of their faith. But you're not going to hear about that in the news. That will twist it. But just because we are persecuted in this world, that does not mean we live with this, you hear so much today, victim mentality. I told you in Christianity, we only have one victim. And that is Jesus Christ, who had to die on the cross for our sins. And because of his death on the cross for us, no Christian is a victim. If you truly understand what you have in Christ, what you possess in heaven forever in Christ, you will never think of yourself as a victim. Anyway, we understand that all is according to God's will. So let us always remember that this world is not heaven, but let us also remember that this world is not hell either. It is where the history happens, and it is also where the redemptive history happens. But this world and history of this world will come to an end. It will end when Jesus Christ comes back to gather all of his people into his kingdom. Again, let us also remember this about the common grace. It is also common curse. This is why it might not seem fair so many times. It is common grace, but also common curse. Remember that. You are not given according to how much you work. There are many in this world who will work so much harder than you, but you will receive more than them. And the reverse is also true. There are many in this world who will work so much less than you, but you will receive much more, but they will receive much more than you. And there are so many in this world who will never receive according to how much they work. But we must remember that this world is ruled by our God according to the common grace, but also at the same time is common curse. So you see, these things will happen as you live here on earth. But it's okay. God is still in control. And everything is according to his will. Now, I said all this because our topic today is what is the relationship between the history of this world and the history of God's salvation. Let me conclude my sermon then, and we will go back to chapter 3 and we will look at from verse 1. And we will keep looking at it until we get to the end. What is God saying about all this? Well, there is the history And there is the redemptive history of God. There is the history that will end, and there is the redemptive history that is eternal. The redemptive history is accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ through the special grace order. Even now, Jesus Christ furthers His kingdom. He is building His true temple. And this true history, the redemptive history of God, is hidden to the eyes of the sinners of this world. This world will not see the history of God continuing. They never saw it, and they never will, until the end, when Jesus Christ comes back. The true history, Bible is saying, does not center on the Caesar Tiberius of Roman Empire. The true history does not center on what happened according to the historians of this world. According to Luke, and thus according to God, the true history center on the person who was born in small rural village, who was placed in a manger, who bore his people's sin and died upon that cross, on which the Roman Empire used to kill their sinners. The true history is all about Jesus Christ, who was resurrected from the dead for the justification of his people. In and through Jesus Christ, God accomplishes his redemptive history. The Roman Empire, the Caesar Tiberius, this whole world do not care about Jesus Christ. They are not interested in Jesus Christ. And they are not interested in the redemptive history of God. They are not interested in Him furthering His kingdom even now. But these people are all mistaken. This world is full of self-important people, and they think that they are the history. But their history will end. The common grace will end. The only reason that God allows the continuation of the history of this world is so that the redemptive history of God will be accomplished. As soon as the last chosen person is saved, then the redemptive history of God will be visibly consummated. Then there is no reason whatsoever for the history of this world to continue. Thus it will end. The common grace will end. The history of this world will end. The Bible tells us that it will not even be remembered. See, you might think that your life depends on what you read in the news, that what happened yesterday, what would happen tomorrow. But what the Bible tells you is that what happened 2,000 years ago, what happened 2,000 years ago, that dictates your life. That what Jesus Christ has done, that dictates your life forever. It's not about what you read in the news. It's about what you read in the Bible. That's the true history that matters to you. Now, am I saying just ignore the world? No. But you already know how the world will do what they will do, and how the world will end. You already know. God told you already. But your focus is the true history. History of the salvation of God. Only the Bible will tell you about that history. And that is why we're studying. And we are studying Book of Luke at this time. But when we came to chapter 3, verse 1, I thought it would be helpful for us to truly understand the relationship between the history of this world and the redemptive history of God. You and I cannot live as if the history of this world is more important than the redemptive history of God. See through the Bible, the redemptive history of God and how you are the active participants of that true history. Let us witness that reality through our lives as we live by faith. Jesus Christ is the true history. The true history is His story. And that's your history. So even as you live here on earth, and it's year 2021, but September 12th, remember there's another history, which is true history, which you are an active participant. And that history, that's what matters to you. Eternally matters to you. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. It clearly shows us what is true and what is the truth. And Father, it is Jesus Christ. We thank you that He is everything to us. He is our meaning. He is our motivation. He is our purpose. We thank you that He is everything to us. And let us think, let us say anything, let us even do anything according to Jesus Christ in terms of what Jesus Christ has done and what He has accomplished for us. In terms of who He is and who we are in Him now and forever. So that everything that we do, say, and even think will witness Jesus Christ. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.